welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. Today, we're going to be highlighting a very important and useful tool to have in your toolkit for deployment operations. However, before we dive into that toolbox, I wanted to remind everyone about another great one that will increase your lethality daily. I'm talking about the Line of Departure website, your one-stop shop for all official Army professional journals, articles, and podcasts. The Line of Departure website provides a single access point for all branch journals that is easy to navigate, web-first, and mobile-friendly for all users. Keep yourself up to date on everything that's happening across the force with new articles that are dropping weekly. If you're interested in submitting an article for publication, then be sure to reach out to me as I will help guide you through the process. Now, on to our toolbox discussion for today. For anyone who has ever deployed in any capacity, you've had to deal with a variety of processes and paperwork to get you from fort to port. While each theater may have its own unique requirements, the basis remains the same. You must get your equipment and personnel from one destination to another within a set timetable using a variety of means of transportation. This can be a daunting task if you don't have the tools and resources to guide you through the process, especially since there are so many different checklists and procedures that must be completed. And I can tell you for sure, it's a little more than just some 1750s on a container. So today, we're going to focus on the office that is your ultimate deployment guru, which provides the key resource to make you successful from fort to port. That office is the Deployment Process Modernization Office, DPMO, and the tool I'm referring to is the Deployer's Toolbox. To guide us through this resource and the mission of DPMO, I have with me today the branch chief for the deployment standards of DPMO at Fort Lee, Virginia, Lieutenant Colonel retired Stacy Lee. Mr. Lee leads a team dedicated to improving the Army's force projection operations. Mr. Lee began his military career as a 12 Bravo combat engineer at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, serving as an enlisted soldier in Korea, Fort Campbell, and Fort Hood. During college, he served in the U.S. Army Reserve and the South Carolina Army National Guard before being commissioned into the Transportation Corps from Clemson University, where he completed a two-year branch detail in the Field Artillery Corps. Throughout his commissioned career, he held various positions ranging from company-level roles to four-star command levels. Mr. Lee holds multiple master's degrees and is currently pursuing a doctorate. I'm so happy to have you on the show today, sir. Welcome.
Hey, I'm excited to be here with you. Such a great resource for the field.
Yeah, so it's going to be a great time to get into this. First, it's like, so let me get this straight. So you've been in active duty, reserves, and the National Guard.
Yes.
So you got to see every spectrum of that.
Well, and I also left a couple pieces out of there because when I left active duty to go to college, I actually went to a medical detachment, which they closed down, and they transferred me to a dental detachment, which I didn't want to be a dental hygienist, so I went to the National Guard. So there's a little more churn in there than actually is in the bio, but yes, I've seen it all.
So your career has, so you've gone from combat engineer, touching in, now you're in the dental world, then you're going back to where we needed you to be, the Transportation Corps, the Spirit of Logistics.
Yeah.
But it's neat to see someone who's had experience in so many different realms of the military.
Not all of it was my fault. I mean, they did close down units and transfer me, so.
So this was the one just pushing you around. Oh, we'll just put you over here now. We'll put you in a slot over there. So your office, you know, you work with the Deployment Process Modernization Office, the DPMO. Can you describe to our audience, like, what that exactly is?
Sure. So we've been in existence almost 40 years. We were chartered back in the late 80s. By the G3 and G4 of the Army to be the Army's deployment process proponent. Over the years, it's morphed and changed a little, but we do all aspects of deployment. We don't do sustainment. We don't do anything else. When we sit around and talk, we're sitting around talking about deployment, and that includes exercises, going out to the field, writing doctrine, regulation, information systems. I mean, everything we do is designed to help the warfighter become faster, more lethal, and be able to project force around the world.
Now, is your team all located just here on Fort Lee, or do you have branches
We are all here on Fort Lee.
So you're all here. Do you have a, like, I guess your team, is it like all civilians, or do you still have active duty personnel?
So we have one active duty MOB warrant. He's our senior mobility advisor, and we have a senior NCO that's on loan from TRADOC. But all the rest of us are civilians.
Okay. So that's good. I'm going to imagine a lot of you are all military backgrounds that have went through.
So we are all retired military right now. We have one, because of the reorg, we've got one civilian who won't have military experience, but otherwise, yeah, we're all old and retired.
So after years, we're just going to wheel you guys over here.
Yeah.
So your office, of course, is dealing with all the deployment exercises. And you said, so you handle the regulations that comes around with deployments. And then does your team help out, for instance, with deployment readiness exercises?
Yes. Yeah. We're, in fact, for the actual DRE program, we are the proponent, because it's written into both AR-52593 and ATP-3-35. We write that. We establish the standards, validate the standards. Now, for execution of it, the DRE program is designed for units to be able to assess their, lower echelon units on whether they're ready or not. It's the same for the Command Deployment Discipline Program and the Deployment Excellence Award. We are either the program manager or the proponent for all of those.
Okay. Now, just something I want to kind of touch on, is we just mentioned some stuff about DREs. Could you clarify for the audience the different levels when it comes to DREs? Because I know there's some miscommunication sometimes between level one. I'm doing a level one DRE compared to I'm doing a level four DRE.
So, let me throw out something there before I get into it. All of this is very clearly laid out in the publications. So if you want to know what that looks like and how often you're supposed to do it and what the requirements are, that's the location. But I will tell you, as we get into the Deployer's Toolbox a little later, all of the checklist and sample SOPs and all that are available for download. And those are the latest and greatest, because they do change over time. The DRE level ones, every unit, the deployable unit, is required to do one of those at least once a year. And DRE level one is good because you can go through without expending a whole lot of resource other than training time. And it is the standard tasks. It's going through SRP, it's validating your OEL, it's looking at all the pieces that let a commander know whether he or she is ready to deploy. As close as you can get. DRE level two, that is a higher headquarters coming in and assessing you. These are optional depending on the unit. Well, optional is not a good word, but it depends on the higher unit, the frequency of which a DRE two will actually be executed. A lot of units use like CTC rotations or field training exercises and the like to actually exercise a DRE two. DRE 3 is tricky, because it's the first time that you require strategic lift. So typically what units will do is they will do the front end of a DRE 3 all the way up to, actually moving to strategic lift, and that's where we'll stop it. Now there are two options to get that. Again, if you, put it together with, a CTC rotation or an operational deployment, you'll already have the resources, either the training dollars or the operational dollars, and the strategic lift. What is, in essence, a DRE 4 is actually the EDRE program. It's centrally funded by the chief, and it's actually executed by Forcecom. We work directly with them to do that. And that is a team going out during, again, a CTC rotation, an operational deployment, whatever, and it's real time. The Forcecom team, in fact, the team typically is 25 to 30 people minimum, because we scatter to all the nodes to check the unit at all levels. Now, there are only four of those a year. And actually, right now, that program, with all the change, that program is actually on hold. We're hoping the next fiscal year that money will be freed up and we'll be able to start that process again with Forcecom.
All right. So, well, thank you very much for kind of like laying it out to our listeners on that, because I know that sometimes the different levels can confuse people. Like, oh, I'm doing a level two, or I'm doing a level. Well, no, you're only doing a level one. So it's good. And I think you brought up a great point. is it's laid out in regulation. So while we're having this great conversation today, the key is you got to always go back to regulation.
Right.
It's laid out there for you. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you have a question, go out, find it in regulation. And there's already a piece that's called, it's like a doctrine hierarchy. And I forget the regulation number off the top of my head that actually shows you every regulation that the Army has.
Yep.
And you just go in there and click, and it helps guide you through where you need to find between the FMs, the ATPs, and all.
Yep.
But then that goes right into what we're talking about today, the deployer's toolbox. So it takes the regulation, takes what we're having today, and simplifies it down so that it's more user-friendly. But so can you describe more for our audience on the deployer's toolbox?
Yeah, absolutely. It started out as the Ready Toolbox, the Rapid Expeditionary Deployment Initiative, back in 2013. So it's been in place since then. It's morphed a little over time because of changes in technology, but it is a one-stop shop for everything deployment. If you want to find the regulations or the doctrinal publications or our newsletter or anything like that, it's there. If you want links to the actual editable checklist and diagrams and all that stuff, they're there. If you want cool tools to help you prepare and track, deployment, that's on there. There's a blog on there. So if you have a question, put it in the blog. And if we can't answer it, which is unusual, we will find someone who can. It's one place. If you've got it, you can go, and everything you need to help you be better prepared to deploy is there.
And where is this at?
So you can Google it, Deployer's Toolbox. You can go to the CASCOM website. If you go to the Chief of Transportation's page, there's a button. If you send us a note, we'll send you the actual link. Everywhere we go, we take brochures or slips of paper with the actual address and a barcode on it. So if you look around where you are, if we've been there, there's probably some sitting around.
So you guys are just going around tagging everywhere you go just with Deployer's Toolbox?
We do. If we go to assess a unit, chances are we're going to leave some of the brochures on the table.
Nice. So is this a CAC-protected website, or is it open source?
So right now it is CAC-protected. It's housed on Teams. We are actually working with the training technology folks right now to move it out from behind the CAC-protected firewall, minus the stuff that has to stay behind there, to a website, just like the maintenance websites that they put together. And that will actually be optimized for your mobile device. So if there's a form you've got to fill out to deploy, you can literally pull it up, fill it out, either email it to yourself, print it, whatever. We hope to have that up and running within probably the next month and a half, 2 months. But we're working on that now. So right now it is CAC protected. But if you request access, we typically will give you access within hours, unless it's the weekend. We don't work on weekends because we're civilians. But otherwise, yeah.
Wow. I think it's going to be awesome to be able to have that on your phone or just on your tablet when you're out there and be able to do it, because I need to pull this up real quick. You can pull it up there, do your checklist out there, especially I think it gets down to the most junior soldier now can have access to this this great resource now.
And that's the intent. So if you're a platoon leader and you're prepping your platoon to deploy, wherever that happens to be, you can pull down the forms and you can actually share them with, your squad leaders or the soldiers. And as they're going out doing the checks, they can be checking off stuff. So instead of just you out with a clipboard and a piece of paper or trying to capture all the stuff and come back to, a CAC-protected computer, you can do it real-time in the mobile.
Yeah, that's going to just open up so much just higher efficiency for units to be able to get through this process than you just pretty much just alluded to. You don't have to redo things twice.
Yep.
Have to sit there and write down on a checklist and then have to go retype it in. It's making things more efficient for units to be able to get out the door.
Yeah, and the one thing we realized, the vast majority of the stuff that we house on the toolbox is unclassed until it's filled out. Once you start putting live data in it, then you'll have to manage, whether it's CUI or whatever. But for downloading checklists and all that stuff and filling it out, it doesn't need to be CAC protected.
So, and I think that's just another great thing for our listeners to realize that as we go through this conversation today, is that all these great tools that are available to them and just the efficiency of them. And that kind of gets into my next point is if you can explain more to the audience, like how this tool can be used by different levels, including from the unit movement officers or mobility, warrant officers, and of course, commanders. How can they truly use this resource?
So if you go onto the Polaris Toolbox, there's actually a tab for each level, starting at company, company all the way up to division. And there are separate tabs for UMO and ITO, and then cool tools and all that stuff. Well, for a company level, it is all the company checklists. It's a company level SOP for CDDP. Same thing for each of the tabs. So if you're a UMO and just starting out, or you want to validate whether your movements binder is right, ready to go, you can pull that up and it'll tell you exactly what should be in it. Checklist-wise, there'll be the latest checklists. And you can literally just flip page to page and it'll tell you what should be in the movement binder. So when you're inspected, you'll hopefully pass.
So this is just a random, random question. And in your opinion, who do you think fills the role of the unit movement officer better? Like, should it be better more on the NCO side or like a lieutenant side?
So I will tell you, if you've got someone smart and hard charging, dedicated, rank doesn't matter. Now, it's a little challenging with lieutenants. We get a lot of second lieutenants that come in and they become, you know, in addition to everything else they are, they become the UMO. Well, they're focused on getting a platoon. And chances are that'll happen fairly quickly. So by the time you get them trained, you know, and really engaged, chances are they're going to be moving. And since there's no like ASI for UMO, if you didn't like being UMO and you moved to another location, don't tell them. I mean, they're not going to know. So, rank really doesn't matter. I will tell you as, both a former enlisted soldier and officer, it is important for young soldiers, NCOs, and officers to have experience to put their hands on what it looks like, to prepare to deploy. And that's a great way to do it.
No, I think you highlighted a great point of it is, and I've heard this so many different times, especially when it comes to some of my mobility warrant officers I worked with, is like the lieutenants, they just leave too quick.
Yeah.
They go there and they're like, seeing that they're gone. And you just lose that continuity. But I agree with you. They need that experience. Like, I know when I came here through Bullock, we got our training here. Like, we went through and we did the UMO course here. We did like the TC Ames level one here. And I know, and when I did my command time, I just remember it was so hard to even get people into the school, the UMO certified. Yeah. It's like, it's like the unicorn course, but it was just like so hard to get someone even certified. And then, like you said, there's no ASI attached to it. So someone's like, I don't want to do this, so I'm never going to tell anybody that I'm UMO qualified because I don't want to do it again.
But I will tell you, so one of the things that we try to get out of the toolbox is to make sure if you are a brand new lieutenant coming into a UMO position or an NCO, you haven't been trained yet, we want to give you the tools to be able to start immediately. We don't want you waiting 3 months, 4 months, 5 months to do this course so that you can come back and start being effective. If you go to the toolbox and you're at the company level and you're a UMO, you can click the company tab and the UMO tab, and it'll tell you exactly what they're going to teach you at the course. The only thing you won't have is that certificate for your movements binder.
Yeah, so you won't have the certificate, so you won't be able to have the official part you need for your UMO binder. And I remember the task, because I served as a UMO when I was a lieutenant and got to go through and, you know, build it, because when I was there, the UMO binder didn't really exist. So I built that thing from scratch, which was a great time. I had a great mobility warrant officer that kind of really guided me through it, and I was under a movement control battalion, the 49th movement control battalion down at Fort Hood. So, and though he helped me a lot, guide me through it, like what all goes into it. It was Chief Stout, and from there we just kind of, because we, you know, we put into action, because we, you know, we used that stuff when we did Hurricane Harvey relief operations. We had to do, I mean, it was pretty much an ejery in a sense, because we had to rapidly get everything together to go and support DISCA operations down in San Antonio and also in Houston. So, but I just know how vital it is. And looking back, I wish I would have known more about this tool, this deployer's tool, because like you have different things. You get all your CD, at that point, it was CDs.
CDs, yeah.
With all this stuff from like the course, they give you a CD with all this UMO stuff. But I think it would have been amazing to have a one-stop shop when I was doing that to pull down, I need this check, I need this check, now I can, let me send this to this person on their phone. I think that would help me so much back then.
Well, that's what we're shooting for with the tool. I mean, it's, I don't get anything out of it. I'm no longer deployable. But my job is to make sure that I get the tools into the hands of the deployers. And I want to back up for a second for something you said. So for the unit movement binders, for the UMOs that haven't been to the course, a tip for you is have the commander sign a memorandum of record that says when you're going to the course and put that in place of the certificate. So if I come out to inspect you and if you haven't been to the course yet, and that's because the course hasn't come up yet, if you tell me when you're going, I will give you at least partial credit for having been trained. So just with a memo.
Well, there you go, folks. Just make sure all out there who has, you know, you're a UMO out there or you're a commander out there, make sure your UMO books are squared away. And if you're struggling, like I talked about before, sometimes it's hard to get that course. Just make sure who you've identified in that slot has it been identified for training and you have that memo done. So thank you very much, Ryota.
Yeah, just show me effort.
Get that tidbit out there so we can make sure we're successful. So so that's nice. So it doesn't matter the level, you have a dedicated tab on that resource built for them.
Up to division. Yep.
So, and I think that's great, especially because that's the point of this, is our audience is we're focusing on, especially on the company level, so they can get in there and be able to find what they need to execute. And I know you kind of talked about the blog on there.
Yep.
Can you talk more about this? Because I'm getting, so this is a way that, you know, someone out in the field can provide feedback to you. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So for the checklist and the like, most of those are created by us, either internally or with ForceCom, who actually execute most of it for CONUS. All of the other tools, or the vast majority of the other tools that are on there, all of the cool guides and the calculators and all that stuff came from the field. As we're engaging with, you know, units, whether in the motor pool or the divisions or wherever, and we see a cool tracking tool, we ask them to send it to us. We vet it to make sure it can go on the site, and we plug it in, put it on there. And everything on the site is available to download in an editable format. None of it is proprietary. So if you see a cool checklist or tool, download it, slap your unit logo on it, and it's yours.
So that pretty much is a great way for, like, if I'm out here and I have my own great tool, I can submit it to you all.
Yes.
And you'll be able to provide it to everyone else. So I definitely highly suggest if you're out there right now and you're in one of these positions and you've developed a great product, doesn't matter what it is, you know, reach out, use these opportunities, use the DPMO blog and use their surveys to submit to them, to make that contact so that, you know, we don't want to keep reinventing the wheel, because that's one of the things that always hurts us, is like someone has a great product, they go somewhere else, it gets lost in the confusion of everything else, and then we have to rebuild it once again. But if you're using something right now and it's working great for you, send it to the team.
Send it, yes. In fact, if you go on the toolbox and there's a tool you think you need that's not on there, send us a note. We get stuff from the field all the time and we have to vet it. So chances are we may have something that'll fit whatever your challenge is, and we just haven't gotten it posted yet.
And I think that's one of the best parts of this, the program that you guys have established, is this opportunity to network and have that lines of communication with those in the field. So they're continuously feeding you all feedback and saying, hey, this tool's, it's not working as good, or maybe there's like a glitch in it, or hey, this is a better way that we could use that. Because they're the ones out there where the rubber meets the road. They're out there, they're taking these toolbox, they're these checklists, and they're utilizing them. So having that's awesome. So I highly implore the audience out there to reach out to the team here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So another thing I saw was, I see the deployment handbook, you know, it just recently updated back, I believe it was April 2025. Can you kind of describe to the audience some of the highlights, the changes that were made in that?
Sure. So it actually is not an update. It's a new publication. You may have seen the 2015 version of the call handbook for the Command Deployment Discipline Program. About a year and a half ago, call approached us about either updating that or just letting it go obsolete. We saw an opportunity to expand past just CDDP with all the other stuff that we put together. So we made it a one-stop shop, and it literally is linked to the toolbox. So the handbook is actually broken down by phases of deployment. It's got lessons learned and the like. It'll highlight tools and checklists and the like. If you see one of those in the handbook that you think you can use for your unit, it will be available on the toolbox. And the good thing about the toolbox is it's not static. You know, in April, when we published that call handbook, it became static. We have since updated a lot of those checklists and added tools and the like. So if you see something in the handbook, it's on the toolbox.
And then they can get to the handbook from the deployer's toolbox?
Yes.
And you said, so this is a brand new. So you're just, I don't want to kind of update, because you mentioned, of course, the CDDP. And you guys work hand in hand with that as well.
So we're actually the proponent what most people don't realize is instead of one program, instead of just DREE or DEA or CDDP, the three programs are designed to fit together. So the Command Deployment Discipline Program is when a commander comes in, you can take all those checklists and all that information and start looking at specific areas to be to assure that you're better able to deploy. Well, once you actually get that in place, the Deployment Readiness Exercise Program is supposed to test that. Did I get my CDDP right? And all the way up to the EDRE level. And then DEA, the Deployment Excellence Award, if you put your CDDP in place and you test it with the DREE and you're about to go on a operational deployment or a rotation, and you just knock it out of the park, submit it for the award, get credit for it. I mean, we pick several units a year to receive the Deployment Excellence Award, and then we pick one, which is best of the best. So the unit that just had everything in place, everything went right, and they just knocked it out of the park. And we want to highlight that. We want to show the Army that we value commanders that put the effort into being ready, being lethal.
And is that any level? Is it company and above for that reward, or is it have to be like a battalion? Is it to be like?
So there are different levels, and in fact, it even includes the installation. So the installation support infrastructure that helps units get out of the door, they can also apply. But it's any level.
Wow. So it's definitely something. So if you're out there, if you're in one of these units, you don't even have to be a commander or first sergeant in any of these units. If you're out there, you're the UMO or something like that, hey, I think we should be able to put in for this reward. Get out there. I would say reach out to the team if you need some advice on how to go about it. Reach out to the team on it. But don't let this stuff, sit around. Like, you put a lot of hard work into the process of getting your unit out the door, put in for the reward. And if anything, it gets you another set and rep of going through the process.
Exactly. And I got to put in a plug, obviously, for the sister programs, because there are actually corresponding programs for Command Supply Discipline and Command Maintenance Discipline. And they have all three. They have the pre-stuff, the exercise stuff, and the award. And if you're a commander and you're not using those three programs, to quote Greta Thunberg, shame on you.
Yeah, so you definitely gotta, I know sometimes the CDDP or CDSP, like all the different programs can sometimes scare people. Yeah. They're like, oh man, I have all these different programs I gotta manage. They're like, oh, these are all the command programs. But in reality, they're there to help you. Right? They're there to help shape your unit, ensure that you are prepared for whatever the fight is. So you want to be able to make sure your unit is fully prepared.
Right.
And just utilize those programs. It should not be something you're afraid of. I did two back-to-back commands, and sometimes you have to go in and be like, oh, I have to rebuild this program from the ground up. And everyone's had, many people across the board experience like, oh, wait, this isn't where it needs to be. So yes, you need to take that time to rebuild something, but at the end of the day, that's what you need to do. One, of course, by regulation, but not just because of that. It's going to make you more lethal. It's going to increase your lethality. So these programs, well, they seem like they're going to be a lot of tedious work, especially with all the paperwork and all that. They're increasing your lethality. So when you are called upon to go do whatever type of operation, you're ready to do it.
Absolutely. And let me issue a challenge. So all three programs have excellence awards. They all occur at the same time of the year. And we're still looking for a company, battalion, whatever, that wins the Triple Crown. You can apply for all three awards, and if you think you've really knocked it out of the park, deployment, supply, and maintenance, apply for all of them. We are looking for the Triple Crown winner.
So that's never happened?
That has never happened.
Wow. Has anyone ever gotten two?
Two, yes. Three, no.
Wow. So that is the challenge has been set. So get out there, and anybody out there right now, take on the challenge. You know, I want to see it. I want to see who can take the triple crown and be able to take all three. I think that would be an awesome experience to be able to see somebody achieve excellence in all three of those.
And once that's done, I'll retire because I will have done my...
So there you go.
That's it for the Army.
Oh, man. So one of the things else I wanted to look at is, you know, you're going through, you're fully integrated with this Deployer's Toolbox. So out of all these tools that are available, what would be, in your opinion, what is your favorite?
So I wrote the name down so I wouldn't get it right. Get it. So the Mobility Deployment Timeline Calculator. So it is an Excel document that you plug in which theater you're going to. You plug in your units, your total number of personnel, total number of major pieces of equipment, containers, and when your ALD is. And it will auto-calculate all of that for you. It will tell you how many aircraft of what type you're going to need. It will tell you how many ships. It will tell you how many rail cars. It will actually break it down for you by, you know, torch, main body one, main body two. And the spreadsheet itself is literally designed to fill in, auto-calculate, and print on one single page. So if you are the UMO or you're a lieutenant or whatever, and you're going to update your commander, you can take that one page and you can say, here, sir, here, ma'am, here's exactly where we are.
I could not have had that like 10 years ago.
Yeah, no kidding. 20 years ago for me, but yes.
Man, it's just as simple as I could be able to type. And then you can take this now and it's going to make you more efficient to be able to now execute and not wasting time. Because I can just remember all the time it goes into trying to do all those calculations. So now you can utilize that time to more preparing your equipment, preparing your personnel, of course, just mostly focusing on other things that are happening right now so you can get out the door efficiently.
Right. And I would highlight that was a tool from the field. We hit a unit that was using it, and we were asking about timing and everything else, and the Mobile pulled out this one sheet. He's like, here's what we're doing and when we're doing it. We were like, can you send that to us? So, I mean, that is a tool from the field to help the rest of the field get better at deployment.
And that's just another prime example of everyone out there, like the things that you are doing, don't keep it just within your circle.
Right.
Get that stuff out there so it can continue to make a difference. Look, somebody probably sat down one day, was like, man, I'm tired of doing this. Let me just build this Excel and I can make it easier. And because of that one person's decision, they are now impacting the entire force as a whole.
Leader supporting leaders, soldiers supporting soldiers.
And so, I love that. I love being able to, because you don't want what you've worked hard to and to build to just disappear when you leave.
Right.
So I really like how you guys have done that. One of the last things I want to kind of hit on is, does your office work with, hey, if someone needs assistance, not doing a full inspection, but help them through to prepare for something, but like, hey, can you just do a courtesy check? Like, how does something like that work?
Yeah. If you send us a note, in fact, if you go on the Deployer's Toolbox, our contact information is on there. We'll have all of our branches have group mailboxes. You can send us a note. Just let us know what you're doing, what you're trying to do. And if we can help, we'll help.
So everyone hear that. Just if you need some help, reach out to this team here. Of course, that'll be included in your show notes, that contact information, so that if you need something out in the field, get out there, reach out to the team. So kind of close out on what advice do you have for the systemic community? So you've had a very long history with the Army. Of course, you've went every different compa you can. And then, of course, now from seeing on the civilian side working in DPMO. So what kind of good wisdom do you have for the community?
So I'll tell you, and I'll frame it around one of the biggest challenges we see with units that aren't as prepared to deploy is when we go to motor pools or key nodes, you don't see the senior leaders. The exact opposite is true when the commander and the command star major and the S3 and the XO and everybody is out in the motor pool or at the railhead, or, you know, what is important to you will be important to your soldiers. So don't get so tied up with all the office stuff and email and everything else that you lose sight of what's important. That is being ready, being lethal, getting out the door.
No, thank you very much for that. I really appreciate that, sir. That's hit the nail on the head. You got to get out of your, say, you get out of your comfort zone of your office and get out there, get your hands dirty. And I think no matter the rank that you have, you should be out there, especially when it comes to deployment preparation and seeing how everything's going. I'll tell you right now, I think it's going to be having somebody that, you know, if you're a company commander out there and your soldiers see you out there while you're going through and loading containers, you know, that's part of that inspiring them. It's going to help say, hey, they are not afraid to get their hands dirty. And I think that includes, it does not matter your rank, from company commander up to a battalion commander. Like, it doesn't matter what your rank is. Be out there. Don't just, you know, fight from your desk. Be out there in the motor pole. Because especially because you're the one we sign off on everything, kind of want to make sure everything's going right out there. But it's just so critical getting out there, getting your hands dirty.
Yeah, and I'll give you a tip that worked really well for me, which actually was passed on to me from a mentor. You know, one of the first meetings when I was a company commander that we would do in the mornings is the senior leaders would get together and we would find out who was going where. Because if you're the commander, you can't be everywhere. But you can actually sit down with your first sergeant, sergeant major, your XO, your S3, and say, okay, so we've got operations going on at the railhead. Commander, I'm going out there. You know, you can actually divvy it up in the morning. So, you know, you're not trying to do it all, which you don't have enough time to do.
No, divide and conquer.
Exactly.
So, but this has been such an insightful conversation that we've had today. I know we've kind of just touched on it barely because there's so much more to talk about, but, where can people find you if they have any additional follow-up questions? Just want to give you a chance to restate all that.
So easiest way, obviously, is the Deployers Toolbox, since we've been talking about that from the get-go. I'm on Global, so under Stacy Lee. I think I'm the only one civilian. In fact, if you send us a note either through that, you can go through the CASCOM website, the COTS website. You'll see a link to DPMO. And like I said, if we've been out to your location, there's probably a flyer sitting around someplace with our contact information.
So just be sure to reach out if anybody out there, don't be afraid, send them a note, just say, hey, I appreciate these tools. They've really helped me out. Or just, if you have something that, once again, send it to them. But I really want to thank you, sir, for coming in, taking the time to come in today and provide our listeners with the details on this great tool. And there's just so much, and you're not going to fully grasp it until you get the tool yourself. So I highly suggest everybody out there, get in, check out what this tool has to offer and really experience it for yourself. Because there is no need to reinvent the wheel when it comes to deployment operations.
Right.
It's there. We just need to use the tools that are available to us so that, and then your office has worked so hard to complete. I know we'll be able to have more conversations in the future, kind of maybe on more specific aspects of the deployment process. I know our West listeners are probably going to have a lot of different questions, maybe even more on when it comes to deployment readiness exercises or any part of the process. But truly, sir, I wanted to thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much again. Be sure to check out, like I said, the Deployer's Toolbox. Start to familiarize yourself with it now with these checklists and procedures so you have a good understanding of it prior to any deployment operation. You don't want the first time that you look at it be the time when you actually have to use it. Remember that the site is on the SharePoint. It is currently CAC protected, but that is all we have today, folks. And as always, Sustainment Leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment Leaders start here.